if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
Okay, so the question that I have for that is, what is it that glorifies the Father? And the answer is right there in those two verses. What is it?
Bearing much fruit.
Bearing much fruit. And that is the last stage in the fruit bearing, moving from no fruit to more fruit, and finally to much fruit. And when the believer gets to the point, and by the way, very seldom does this happen instantaneously. We grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. You can't. I think it was D.L. Moody said, "You are never going to obey the Lord for something you don't know He wants." And you have to understand and fill yourself with the scriptures and then obey them. And as you do that, you're going to bear a much fruit, and then the Father is glorified. You are glorifying the Father. And that's what he's saying here in those verses. And that's what glorifies the Father. And for us, look at chapter 15, verses 9, 10, and 11. For as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. And what does abide mean? Stay there. Stay there. Plant yourself and stay there. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So how do you abide in his love? You keep his commandments. And how are you going to keep his commandments if you don't know his commandments? That's the point. You've got to be saturating your heart and soul with this so that you are able to obey him. Let's look at a couple other verses here. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Somebody look up 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31. And someone else look up Philippians 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. Okay, Matthew 5, 16.
Same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven.
So, by living our life before men, our light shines before them, and they see your good deeds, and they glorify the Father in heaven. He is glorified by that. 1 Corinthians 10:31.
Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Yep, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, even eating and drinking. And Philippians 1, 9, 10, and 11.
This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern it, what is best,
so there it talks about the fruit of righteousness, just righteous living, righteous speaking, righteous everything, that your life would be righteous and it would glorify him. So what does Jesus give them again as his great command? Verses 12 and What is it?
Love
one another. Love one another. This is my commandment. And he has given this before. That's the reason I said again. He has repeated this several times in the gospel already. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. And greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. So Jesus is speaking to his disciples at this point about something that is just about to happen. I mean, we are literally within hours of the crucifixion, where Jesus would indeed fulfill this. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what he is going to do. He is going to lay down his life for his friends. Look at verse 17. This I command you, that you what?
Love
one another. One of the things that I observe about this class is that this class is a loving class. People are praying for each other. People are encouraging one another. If the need is known, you don't walk through it by yourself. There are people who are willing to hold your hand in prayer, do whatever they can to help you. And I just rejoice in that, and I understand that that is a work of the Holy Spirit, and that that is something that glorifies the Father. That's it. That's the important thing here, that your work is glorifying the Father. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. Paul's words to the church at Thessalonica.
Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you.
So he is really encouraging the church at Thessalonica, and basically he's praising them. He's saying, I want you to love one another more. But you are doing that. You are doing that. And by the way, you can love believers, particularly believers. We're supposed to love everyone, but particularly those of the household of God, Paul would write. But sometimes you love them by giving money. Finances. Now, that may sound unspiritual, but that's not the case at all. Paul was, you remember, as you trace through the book of Acts, Paul was on a journey through much of the book of Acts, where he was taking a love gift. He collected from all the churches in the Gentile churches that he was around. He was picking up financial gifts from all of them, and he was going to take it to whom?
Jerusalem.
To the Jews in Jerusalem. And the reason was because the Jews in Jerusalem were under intense persecution. They were, basically the same today as it was then. If a Jew stands up and says, I proclaim Christ as being my Savior, basically, they're done. They are ostracized from their family. They sometimes actually hold a funeral service for the person and declare him to be dead. They will have no more fellowship with that. In the days of the apostles, for a Jew living in Jerusalem, you could not trade in the trade center. You could not buy. If you stood for Christ, you were in deep trouble. Deep trouble. Bob?
Is that part of the Old Testament scripture, that kind of activity? Where do you get this?
Bob wanted to know if this is part of the Old Testament activity, and the answer is no, not specifically. But that doesn't stop them from creativity in their persecution. They felt that, I think the justification, as I would understand it in their mind, the justification was that they felt that believers, Christian believers, were totally opposed to the law given by Moses. And because of that, they were outcast. It may be more than that to it, but that was for sure part of it. So, we are to love one another as I have loved you, and greater love has no man than this, than he would die for his friends. Now, the next question that's on your sheet here is, what is the test? What is the test to being a friend of Jesus? I want you to look at chapter 15, verse 14. Here's the test that every one of us can apply to ourselves. I would not encourage you to be applying it to somebody else. This is a test that is meant for self-inspection. You are my friends if you what? Do what I command. And I wonder how many times he has repeated that in these verses leading up to and including chapter 15. He has just repeated that over and over and over again. You are my friends if you do what I command you. And no longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. And we can amplify that even further as we go through the remainder of this gospel. So you are his friend if you do what he commands you. And it starts with salvation. I want you to look at James chapter 2, verse 23, and then chapter 4, verse 4, and Matthew 7, verse 15 through 20. James 2, 23.
Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend.
So it starts with salvation, and it was declared of Abraham when God told him what he was going to do, and against all odds, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And that's the point in Scripture, if you're keeping track of such things. That's the point where Abraham was saved. It was counted to him for salvation. And he was declared to be the friend of God. James chapter 4, verse 4.
You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God.
Yep. And that is, again, something that you will have to evaluate for yourself. If you have established a friendship, some sort of a friendship with the world system, then you are an enemy of God. You are not his friend. And Matthew 7, 15 through 20.
Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruit you will know them.
Yeah, so the good fruit that a believer has in their life is something that is visible to all. It is recognized by all, and by their fruits you shall know them. You will know the bearers of good fruit and the bearers of bad fruit. Now, what new relationship do they now have in verse 15? No longer do I call you slaves, but I call you
friends.
Friends, because he has made known to them all from the Father. If you turn back to Genesis 18, verses 16 through 21, we won't take time to do that, but that's where the Lord is approaching Sodom and Gomorrah. He is going to pass judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, and he stops at Abraham's tent, has fellowship with him, and declares and says, shall I keep this a secret, what I am going to do from Abraham? He's my friend. And I shall not keep what I am going to do from him. And I think of that with regard to the New Testament prophecies. God is not keeping secret from us what he is going to do. He's not holding it secret. I mean, sometimes I look at the prophecy and it is so detailed, I'm staggered. He is not holding back what he is going to do. Why? Because he considers us to be what?
Friends.
His friends. And do unbelievers look at the prophecy and understand what it means? No, they don't. It is written for us. It is written only for us. We will be the ones who understand it. And what does he reinforce to them? Verses 16 and 17. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Notice that again. I chose you. You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and what?
Bear fruit.
Bear fruit. And that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This is my command. This I command you, that you love one another. There it is again. There it is again. Love one another. John talks later in 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John and says, who are you? If you tell me that you love God and you hate your brother, you're a liar. How can you tell me that you love God, whom you've never seen, when you're hating your brother, who you have seen? And he's pretty harsh about that. So one of the things that you and I need to take away from this portion of the passage in John chapter 15, certainly not the only thing to take away from it, but an important thing is you should love one another. And that means if you have a brother or a sister in Christ, and you have a squabble and you haven't settled it, get over it, bury it, count them as friends, embrace them as friends, because in doing that you begin to bear much fruit and you glorify the Father. And if you don't do that, you're going to take that to the judgment seat of Christ as wood, hay, and stubble. Pretty clear. We could talk quite a bit about the first part of that verse also, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I believe that's the heart of salvation. It's the heart of salvation. We don't choose him. He chooses us. He chose us, in fact, before the foundation of the world. And I'm astounded at that. So, we have covered, all the way down to verse 17. And Lord willing, next week, we'll pick up at verse 18. And I think we'll finish up the chapter, I hope. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for you, for your word. And Lord, it is such a powerful word. I think of the commands that you have given here. You are my friend if you do what I command. And I'm commanding you to love one another. Straightforward, very clear, unambiguous. And I pray, Lord, that if there's any one of us here this morning who is harboring some kind of a hatred, an unfriendly attitude toward another brother or sister in Christ, I just pray, Lord, that you would convict, that you would help them to resolve that, get that cleared up, so that it would bring much fruit to the glory of the Father. And I pray, Lord, that should you tarry this week, and we know that your return is imminent, but should you tarry this week, we just pray that you would grant us the ability to serve you with a heart that is full, that is running over with your commands. I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.